Let me know if this sounds like you. You're always afraid of making mistakes. You need someone else to tell you you did a good job so you can feel better about yourself. And you seem to always need someone to tell you what to do next. Because if not, you don't know what to do. Well, unfortunately, these are the side effects of something we've all been a part of today's traditional schooling. And I'm not bashing on school. It gives us a lot of good things. It teaches us how to read, write, communicate with others, sets us up for our careers, etc. But unfortunately, there are three wrong lessons in particular that school has taught each and every one of us. And this is not a doom and gloom episode. I'm not just trying to talk about negatives. I'm going to talk about my story and how you can overcome it and tips to overcome it if you find yourself especially suffering from one of these three side effects. And that is what we are discussing on this episode of the Parallel Success Podcast, where I help professionals balance work and school so they can earn more, save more time, and do it with as little stress and burnout as possible. I did mention it in the intro to this episode. One of the wrong teachings, the ideas, the lessons that we've learned from school is to have a fear of failure, right? If you do an exam or you have some homework and you fail, it is very much preached to be in a negative light. It is something that is wrong, right? Which is understandable, right? On some level, we have to understand that if we are not putting in our full effort or we're not making the necessary changes to be better, that is frowned upon. But there is an issue with reference to fear or failure, especially in the school system. And let me give you my personal example. I've not really been a failing student, but I have seen other failing students and how they have been treated. Unfortunately, in my experience, I've seen a lot of persons who, yes, for lack of trying, are for having a lack of understanding, become students that are subpar, right? Below average. And how the teachers treat them, how fellow students treat them is like they're a lost cause, right? You're just, again, like they almost give up on you in a sense. Not necessarily physically to the extreme extent, but they do not put as much effort into you as someone else would, right? Part of that is because, you know, you don't see your investment into this person being as valuable into someone else. But there is an issue with that. There's something called disintegrative shaming. This is something that was theorized by a very popular criminologist called John Brackwick. And essentially, there are two types of shaming. Disintegrative shaming, disintegrative shaming, when the person who is being shamed is kind of left out of society. So when they make a mistake or they break the law, they are kind of, they don't get the benefits of working with others. They're looked down upon. There's no means to reintegrate them into the society. Then there's integrative shaming. When the person who has made a mistake or made a penalty, right? Sorry, who has made a mistake or broken the law, they do face a penalty, but there are processes and procedures put in place to reintegrate them into society, right? So shaming does work because by condemning someone, invoking negative consequences for bad behavior, it does curb the behavior. The issue is that when you face negative consequences and there's no way to tell you how to get back to where you need to be. So in a lot of cases in the school system, persons fail, they make the mistakes, but they're never taught to how to overcome that. It's just go and read more books and revise and see if you could do better, right? For failing students, they're never taught how to actually learn, how to process information, how to encode information, how to retrieve information, right? The simple skill of actually learning how to learn is never taught. So unfortunately, some of these persons in institutions, even at university, they do not know how to get themselves out of that bad situation. You know, I'm not advocating that I should be the one to make the changes. I'm just acknowledging there are issues and maybe we could try to work towards them to curb them. If nothing is done with the institutions themselves, that means that we have to take the responsibility and tell others, our friends, or even do it with ourselves to ensure that we are equipped to deal with these challenges. So the reason that this is such a big issue is that when we leave the school system, then we have a fear of taking risks. Sometimes it stifles persons' creativity because they don't want to think outside the box, because going outside the norm or failing in general is seen as something negative when it isn't, right? For any of us to get better, when we have to push ourselves to be in an uncomfortable position, we're going to make mistakes, right? I love the acronym that I saw somewhere. I think I saw it at work. What failing is? F-A-I-L. First attempt in learning, right? And the same way how a young child is told not to touch the stove and they touch the hot stove and then they get burned, they learn from that experience. None of us learn without making mistakes. And many of the persons who are successful seek failure because they're pushing the limits to what they can do, and then they improve, right? So actions that we could use to overcome this, well, encourage a growth mindset, seeking discomfort, seeking failure. Failure is okay, right? I mean, it just means that you haven't gotten to where you need to be yet. That's an indication to put in more effort and learn more and improve. It's not an indication to stop trying or you should be made fun of, right? And in general, we should celebrate the effort persons make rather than progress itself, right? Because we don't know how far someone has come. So rather than celebrating someone who, you know, puts in the effort and gets good grades, the effort of wanting to study, making a study group, actually having the desire to learn how to learn, that should be celebrated rather than the results. Because when we celebrate the results and not the effort itself, we glorify the end result without showing persons what it takes to actually get there. And then they're stuck there. So I myself suffered from fail fear. I kind of was like one of those like good students love. I didn't bring school at Apple and I shared with my teacher and ISO. But fear of failure was very evident for me, and it only really broke out of it when I had to like do entrepreneurship, because you have to seek failure, then you get kicked in your pants every single day. So actually seek out failure. Fear of failure is actually probably a big limitation on a lot of us due to the school environment. All right. The second unfortunate side effect or bad lesson that we've learned from school is to be seeking the approval of others. Now, again, persons who are effective role models, persons who have our best interests at heart, seeking their approval is, there's nothing necessarily wrong in that sense. On some level, we all seek the approval of others because we are humans and we are social creatures, right? But there was a study done. It was, reading is for girls, the negative impact of preschool teachers. There was some teachers some time ago, I can't remember if this was done in the 1980s or the 1990s, the study, but essentially there were some preschool teachers that had the notion that reading was for girls. What became the result? Unfortunately, a lot of the male students, the boys, did not take a desire to learning as much as the girls did. Even though they had an innate desire, because of the preconceived notions, the beliefs of the teacher, that was almost kind of painted on them, and they acted accordingly. So sometimes having this approval, that thinking that success comes from the approval of others, and the issue being there is no intrinsic motivation, self-motivation. The motivation we have is so that our teacher can tell us that we did well. So stereotypes from these persons who are in authority, even when you get into the workplace, it could be dangerous because your employer could then tell you that to be a successful employee, you have to work overtime. And you have to go the extra mile every single time in this office if you want to be successful. And that seeps into your brain. You then think that that is what is the standard, when that could be something that is very, very unhealthy for you. But just because someone in authority told you that that is what success looks like, we need to engage in a lot more of self-assessment, defining what success is for ourselves rather than letting other people do it for us. So my advice, as much as possible in your personal life with your friends, let your friends determine what success is, right? Praise them for their individual strengths and the gifts that they have. Don't, as peers and as a greater society, say that this is what, you know, those in positions of authority should determine what it is for each of us, because it isn't. We all have our own interests, and that is okay. Which means that all of us will have our own definition of what success is, not just persons who are in charge. The third side effect that school has had on all of us is a dependence on authority. So it's a little different from seeking the success of authority. It's more like this. When we all leave the institution of school, may it be, again, secondary school, high school, university, a lot of us are lost and don't know what to do. And our productivity falls off a cliff and we stop learning because we're dependent on a headmaster or principal telling us we need to get to school at this time, leave at that time. Everything we did was scheduled. Everything we did was not up to us. It was determined by somebody else. So now, when you're not told what to do, and you are the person in authority, you have the autonomy over yourself, a lot of people don't know what to do. That's why we see so many persons excel in the school environment. But when they hit with the real world, and they have to make their own job decisions and life decisions, they do not know what to do. And it regress. It's unfortunate. Again, you can't really get around it because that is how the system is now. But in whatever way you can, have a way of pursuing your own interests and strengths, as I mentioned in the previous point, right? There should be some projects that you're doing that are just for you, and there are no deadlines, only the ones that you set, and it's followed by your interests and what you want to do in life. Because there's so many persons that I meet on a regular basis that are caught up in this, I don't like to say it necessarily, but the rat race in a sense, but they only pursue what they're told to do. So they're told by their parents, their family, their peers, their teachers, that you need to be either a doctor or accountant or a lawyer. Those are the only things that you can do. And many of them, by the third or fourth year that they're in medical school or third or fourth year in a university, they don't like what they're doing, but they don't have the guts to stop doing it because someone in authority told them that this is the way to go. We all have unique paths, and especially with the internet and many, many places and many businesses and many organizations saying there is no longer a need for a college degree in some careers. Again, in some careers, persons are more looking for if you can be effective in a certain role, what is your experience, right? More than ever, we have more options than before. 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, you could only get a job in your immediate local area. It was based on the zip code you was born in. We were more with remote working and hybrid work post-COVID. The opportunities are endless, right? And again, my whole purpose of doing this is to like empower other people to take their learning into their own hands. Yes, it would be great if you become a client of WebLearn and I work with you and I help you balance work and school so that you could accrue certain skills like time management and effective study habits and actually learn how to learn. That would be awesome. But if not, I don't just want you to be passively listening to this. I want you to take steps to improve your own situation. Anyone living in the world right now, no matter what industry you are in, learning is so important because things are ever changing, right? Cars, 20, 30 years ago, there were no electric cars. Now, anybody who's in the car business, they must understand electric cars, right? Look at artificial intelligence. We thought that artificial intelligence were going to replace the low-level jobs. Artificial intelligence could probably be a better CPA or lawyer than your current lawyer. So we have to learn that. Learning, self-directed learning, learning that comes outside of the institution, is probably the most valuable skill that any of us could get, because we're going to be learning, for most of us, until the day we die. Because we are creatures who continue to iterate and improve and adapt because our environment has changed, so we need to change accordingly. So please, again, just because school says that this is the way to go, just because your teacher, your peers, those you may look up to say that this is the way to go, right? Take it with a grain of salt. See what the alternatives are, right? Especially, you know, you can pursue something that you want to do. Yes, all of us have unique set of circumstances, being like providing for our families and, you know, financial situation, et cetera, et cetera. But you have the power. You can decide. It is not up to those persons who are in authority. And when we're talking about the dependency on authority, right? My teachers are telling me, oh, you're really good at math, right? You're really good at science. You should become an engineer. Okay, cool. Didn't really pan out. Then someone told me, who I very much valued, oh, you would be good at accounts, right? Someone at school, because I like math again, went to school for accounts. That was supposed to be the whole career path, and I was doing it. And again, someone in authority at the institution it was at was like, oh yeah, you're really good. Let's give you promotion. And like, you know, this is going to be what you do for a long time. And I broke the mold. You know, I did what I was not supposed to do, wink, wink. But it turned out well for me. Yes, there's going to be persons who tell you that you're doing nonsense and you should stick on the path you are, but your life is for you. You know, when you get 30, 40, 50, if you have a lot of these people who tell you what to do 20, 30 years ago, determine how you end up, whose life were you really living? Were you living for them? It's as easy as that, right? Live the sort of life that you want to live, right? Even if it means that you have to be at a 9-to-5 for a certain amount of time before you branch off on your own, so be it. But anyone who has the opportunity to do something that they want to do, but rather than do it, you know, kind of succumb to the ideas and the opinions that others put on them, you're really not, right? You're almost like a Sims character and somebody else pulling you strings. Cut your strings. So yeah, school is awesome. School taught me how to communicate and, you know, speak with others and like write and read, and really good at math. I have to, you know, take my hat off to school for that. Thank God. But it does come with some side effects, but the thing is, we do not have to stay there. The beautiful thing about life and us as humans and people, we can improve. And it takes the self-awareness to acknowledge what the issues are and do the work to overcome them. So I hope you do the work, right? You don't have to wait on somebody to tell you a good job, right? You don't have to be afraid of making mistakes. You can seek failure, right? You don't have to be dependent on others to determine the path on which your life goes. You have the autonomy. You have the power. Take the lead, take the action, and undo the work that these side effects, these wrong lessons have done to us. You don't have to be a slave to them anymore. So again, there are definitely other episodes at this point that you could go and check out. But I have been your host, Jared Thompson. This has been the Parallel Success Podcast. And I will see you in the next episode.
You thought I was finished. You thought this episode was over. Well, I am very sorry to have burst your bubble, because we have to address this episode's listener shout out. Today's shout out comes again from the continent of Africa, on the other side of the planet. You know, the men in Africa really supporting the pod recently. I must say, it's been amazing. It feels so encouraging. But this shout out goes to David Simushi. He was made aware of the podcast from going through my profile on LinkedIn. So we connected, we talked about some things, he asked for some advice. I'm not in a position to advise 99% of the population, but he fell into this bucket of the 1% because I did something he wanted to do. Cool. So, again, if you want to also get shout out like David did, awesome David, you know, reach out to me on LinkedIn, Jared Azarel Thompson, or you can reach out to me on Instagram, Jared_Webler, and you could be the person who is mentioned in the next episode for a listener shout out. And lastly, something else I want to make customary on this podcast, my recommendation for those of you who want to listen to more episodes. So if you've listened to episode 43, my recommendation to you would be listening to episode 42, choosing passion over the paycheck, why I quit my job. It gets into some of the same issues, fear of failure, how to overcome the dependency of authority. Because I had to do all of that to start this business. Because this is what those in authority, you know, family, teachers, friends, persons at my job said what I should not do. And now I am doing it. So I kind of give insight on how I made that decision. How someone who kind of wants to break the mold also could do that as well. But as usual, you are beautiful, fantastical, awesome people. I do not deserve you. To all of you who have downloaded the episode to this point, thank you so much. Who are now downloading it because I mentioned it, thank you as well. I am continued to be overwhelmed by the support that you guys give me, and we're closing in on 50 episodes. I do not know what special I'm going to do for 50 episodes, but somebody give me some suggestion. I don't know what to do, but we can plan something big. Thank you guys for your support. Have an awesome day. Check out episode 42 if you want to listen to more. And I can catch you. Really, no, this is the end. Like, for real, this is the end. I can catch you in another episode of the Parallel Success Podcast, hosted by yours truly, so I can continue to help professionals earn more money, save more time, and do so with as little stress and burnout as possible. Peace out!
I want you to transform your academic experience. And the best way that you could do so is by joining our free course, the 21-Day Stress-Free Scholar. In this course, you're going to learn the essential study techniques, time management strategies, and even personal development skills to excel in school while maintaining your overall well-being. You can enroll now for free and kickstart your journey to academic success at weblearnt.com. weblearnt.com. See you there.